first day of summer is almost here, and so is my birthday, which immediately follows it. In my grade school years, I enjoyed a few outdoor birthday slumber parties. In sixth grade, a boy in our class died in a motorcycle accident. So at my birthday slumber party, one of my friends decided we were going to raise him from the dead. She directed us to sit in a circle in my backyard as if we were sitting around his body. First, she instructed, put your pointing finger and middle finger together on both hands. Then turn your hands upside down. Palms up. We did. She said that we were going to lift him up. But, she said, this is very important. You can't laugh. I know. We tried not to. We really did. But it's pretty challenging to keep 12-year-old girls from giggling. No dead raising that night. The neighbor behind us, however, yelled for us to keep quiet because her family was trying to sleep. This summer, I'm going to try and amp up the number of backpacking trips. How cool are those slumber parties? Did you hear that Alex Trebek set a record for the most game show episodes hosted by the same presenter? I flashed back to a buddy of mine years ago. God, I think he ended up in Jersey. Lost contact with him. Anyway, a couple of friends and I were going to attend a fair or festival or something. I picked up Sharon at her place, and then we headed over to Jack's. He was watching Jeopardy and said he wanted to keep watching until the next commercial. I stood there amazed as I witnessed him correctly answering one after the other after the other. He only missed two. But when the commercial came on, he stood up and complained it was too hard. Seriously? I am envious of people who have ready access to information, facts, and figures stored in their memory banks. I've attended a couple of trivia nights where I was more of a spectator than a participant. Matt Russell of Questionable Trivia not only writes the trivia questions for local bars, but hosts them occasionally as well.
I've attended a couple of these trivia nights, and nothing like making you feel stupid really fast, which I know I'm not. I just haven't retained bizarre figures and facts, and it's interesting to me. Well, these are the two that I knew. Okay. That everybody was impressed by. But we know how the brain works.
Exactly.
We don't know how it works, that it retains some things and not others.
Yeah.
For instance, one was I knew the name of the goose in the movie Friendly Persuasion, because I saw it like 4 or 5 times. It was a book that I just happened to remember because it sat on this coffee table at the end of the couch when I was still living at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for some reason, it never made it to the bookcase. It was always on this coffee table. Mm-hmm. So when it came up, I knew what it was, and everybody was just so impressed. Like, how did you know that? And I just smiled. But really, that was it, those two. So I'm guessing that people either have a photographic memory or they just have one of those brains that just absorbs and retains. Are you one of those?
I have a slightly eidetic memory.
What is it called?
Eidetic, which means I remember a lot of the stuff I hear or see. It just will sometimes take me a while to find it again. But that's the way it works sometimes. It's funny you should bring up how you remembered those two facts and were able to pull them out. Because a lot of the trivia that I write, people that you don't have to go and study to write it. You don't need to study to do it well. You just need to remember, you know, certain things. And there's a trivia team that does really well, and their only way of studying is they just watch YouTube clips of old television shows and Family Guy or other referential programs just to pick up those slight references that will only help you out when you're at a bar trivia.
So there's a team that does this regularly.
Yeah, I write trivia for 8 different bars, and I host it at 2. I own a company here in Sacramento, and we've got regular teams. Last night we had 12 teams at a bar. 8 of them were returning teams, so that's always a lot of fun. Pretty much a lot of people are getting this knowledge just through osmosis and picking it up the same way you described it, as it being a book that was on their coffee table or a movie that they watched a few times or something along those lines.
Well, if you're writing for a series of bars,
mm-hmm.
are these regulars or returning teams, as you call them, hoping that you're going to repeat some of the questions?
So I have never repeated a question.
I was wondering. That's a big challenge. How many times a month do you do that?
I write 4 quizzes a week, and I've been doing it now for 3 years.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so.
With no repeats? You had to have some repeats. At least it's been a year and nobody would know this.
The only time I will repeat stuff is if nobody got it right in the first place. And it's about once a year or so I'll do a round called Redemption, where it's, here's all the questions nobody got right. Let's see if you remember them now.
But don't you read back the correct
Back the correct answers and everything like that, and you'd still be surprised. Like,
really?
The one question still nobody has gotten right is who played Eggman in the...
Batman?
In the original Batman series.
Yeah, that's Otto Preminger.
Vincent Price.
Oh, the original one. You're right.
Yes, the original
of course you're right.
Yes. And nobody...
That's right.
Nobody's able to get that one right. And
oh, wow.
Even at one bar where we have a special thing where if you buy a specialty drink, I'll give you a hint on a question or so, people will not get that question right. And
I wonder if they just don't play it that often on the repeats.
They might not play it often. They might not play it often on the repeats. Plus, he only appeared in one episode.
Well, that would do it once.
So, yeah.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you even begin having a business?
Well,
trivia.
What it was it was 2 weeks after breakup, and I was just rock bottom. We were together for 5 years. We had an apartment together. We had a cat and everything like that. And I'm just at a bar, and my friend Tyler was a regular there, and we both were doing improv at the time, and the owner knew him, and so he said, hey, Tyler, we want to start doing a trivia night. Would you want to do it? And Tyler says, nah, but I have the guy for you. And so the owner comes and sits down with me at the table, asks me if I'm wanting to do it, and I'm like, sure, why not? And then 2 weeks later, we launched, and here we are. Well, actually, right now, we started back in 2011, so it was about this time. Actually, 3 years ago that we started.
So he approached you simply because you were participating yourselves, and maybe he saw you before playing?
Didn't even
just
happen
a random
at the bar, and just he knew a friend, and the friend put me in contact, and 3 weeks later we started doing it. That first quiz, out of 40 questions, the top score was a 7, and that's when I realized, oh, maybe the things I consider general knowledge, not everybody else does. And so it was a little touch and go at first, and then, you know, we hit our stride, and that became one of the more popular trivias in Sacramento for a while.
Do you remember some of those first questions?
Stuff like correctly spell Zach Galifianakis.
Zach, I would get, but the rest of it, that's a good one. What else do you remember?
Because it was at a Scottish bar. I did a round about Scottish sports, such as what is the appropriate tree to use in a caber toss. What is the largest golf course in Scotland? Stuff like that. And a lot of people are just like, no, broaden it. So
really?
Going forward, I broadened it, and it worked out for me.
We think the largest golf course would hit somebody in the crowd.
I think that's one of the ones that somebody actually got right.
Yeah, it seems like that would be it.
Yeah.
It's not a big country, so.
It's not.
You don't have a lot to choose from.
You don't really. You just have to know golf courses.
You know, the oldest, you know.
Yeah.
But
the largest, that's one people that a lot of people don't get is when you could go ahead and you throw around just that descriptor of the oldest or the largest or the newest. That's one of the quick tricks when you have to write a trivia quiz within 20 minutes. You could just easily look up facts and figures like, who was the oldest president? And it's a trivia question. And so it's something that you can put out there. And to make sure I don't repeat them, I just have to keep perfect records of every question I've
asked. That was going to be my next question, was how do you have them by categories, I assume?
Different bars have different styles of trivia. The bars that I host at, I do with 2 categorized rounds and 1 general knowledge round, and then a couple bars I write for have just general knowledge questions, 30 to 40 questions, depending on the bar. And the questions, after I write the quiz, I put them into an Excel document, and so I could quickly go through and search for keywords, and that's, I do that after I've written the quiz. I go off of my gut first, have I asked this question before, and then I go through and I proofread it and send it out to my proofreaders and double check it that way. Usually maybe 2 questions a month I've asked either the same question or a similar question, and so I'll change it.
Have you ever had any people dispute, should I say?
All the time. It's one of those things that the worst time it ever happened was I just asked the question. Just ask the question. And this guy stands up and says, you're wrong. And I said, excuse me? He says, you're wrong. I know the answer you're going to put on this, but it's wrong. And so I pulled him aside and I said, what do you think the answer I was going to give was? And he's like, well, everybody says it's this, but it's this. I'm like, And what makes you think that I'm not going to say what it actually is? He's like, well, it's just, you know, look at you. And I was like,
look at you?
Well, yeah, I'm when you're 6'3", heavy set with a ginger beard and a beer in your hand, most people will not consider you to be smart. And as soon as I told him, well, that's not the right answer, and I have the right answer, he went on to become one of the most loyal customers of mine forever. Because of the interactions like that and the way people will view the trivia host sometimes is why, you know, the company I run is called Questionable Trivia. It's because the hosts are questionable, but the answers never are. That was the reason why we came up with that.
Yeah, it's a great title.
Yeah. So, plus it's a pun and everybody likes puns.
Are there any categories that you have that are favorites?
For me, favorite categories that I've done, a lot of bars hate them though, are the lyrics categories, where I'll read, not sing, but read a song's lyrics, and then tell you how many words I need to complete the song lyric. And it's just so funny to see their faces while they're like, if you're asking for a song's lyrics and you sing it, it's a lot easier for them to pick it up. But if you're just hearing it being read, people's brains don't work that way.
It's true.
So that's,
it's funny.
That's always fun. I also really like the more wordplay games.
For example,
I did a round, and it was the second most challenging round of trivia I've ever written. It was right when Breaking Bad was ending, and how Breaking Bad always has the, you know, elemental symbols as the first two letters of the question's names, or the title cards. So what I did was, I was a simple trivia round, where it'd be like, this type of pie is usually served around Thanksgiving and is made with a gourd. The correct answer is pumpkin pie, but then you have to also started off with the element that the first two letters are the elemental symbol for.
For pumpkin?
Yeah, so P-U is the elemental symbol for...
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, or another one was he wrote the time machine. It would be H.G. Wells, but you'd have to write down Mercury Wells, because H.G. is the elemental symbol for mercury.
Oh my god.
And so that's how... So a lot of people got upset about that.
Oh, they shouldn't get upset. That's clever and creative.
It's clever, but still, it was one of those things
It's too hard. Then they shouldn't be playing.
When it comes to bar trivia, you have to use both... You have to use two organs, your brain and your liver. And if you're not ready to use both...
they're not in sync.
Exactly. And then another round I did, it was just... I had fun with it, and my host of the bar, because I just moved back to Sacramento from Chicago, so I was still writing all the stuff while I was in Chicago and just sending it here. The host loved it. The patrons did not. It was called Dance Dance Revolution, where I gave you a dance and a list of 12 dances and a list of 12 revolutions, and you had to match them based on the country of origin.
Give me an example.
Simple one, like disco with the American Revolution. You match them because of America. And so different ones along those lines.
Well, give me a second one so my brain can process this.
If I... I'll just bring it up.
This is why I don't participate in trivia.
Well, it's one of those things that...
I love sitting in on it, but oh.
By all means, because you never know what that person's going to bring to the table, what they're going to know. And that's why I love doing it. When I was living in Chicago, I would solo trivia by myself. But there'd be times where it's like, well, we don't want to just have one person playing. It takes down the prices paid per team and everything like that, because that's how they make their money at the bars in Chicago. So I'd be put on other teams, which is awesome, you know, getting to learn how their brains work. Plus, there's a round about cars, and I really don't know much about cars, and...
Oh, it seems like that would be the crowd would love a car trivia.
Depends on the crowd. Like, last night I did a round about World Cup, and half the bar loved it, and the other half was like, why are you doing this to us? But then I did the round about general knowledge, and then the last round was a round about the show How I Met Your Mother, and it seemed to be the other people who were like, why are you doing this to the soccer people were like, why are you doing this to us? And so when I'm doing rounds with categories, I try to do two to balance each other out. So if I'm doing something very pop culture, I'll do something a little more science.
Or something that's current, like World Cup.
Exactly.
They shouldn't be surprised if you're doing something current. It shows that you are current.
Exactly.
And you have a pulse of what's going on. So
I spend a majority of my day trying to stay as current as I can. Like, I wake up around 7 o'clock in the morning, and I check all my news feeds and newspapers and stuff like that to find out what's relevant. And then I go and check on Facebook to see what's trending there, to see what people are talking about. And then I write the quiz, and then I spend the next couple hours proofreading it, making sure the wording's just right. Because if I'm not hosting it, like I could read my shorthand and how I write my quizzes easily. But some hosts, when you're just like, oh, here you go, and they don't understand what you're trying to get across with it,
I made that mistake about 6 months ago when I sent one of my hosts. It was proofread and everything like that. I just sent him my shorthand instead of sending him the actual edited quiz. And he's just like, what did you send me? So I had to, oh, I'm sorry. Just give me half an hour. So I sent it back to him. And he's like, okay. He didn't realize that all my process worked. Every quiz writer has their own process. And so that's pretty much mine.
Maybe if you're a regular host yourself, you can announce the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
FYI, a lot of my questions are current events, TV, sports, etc. So just to give you a heads up.
Well, on Facebook, I go and I post the rounds, our Facebook page. It's a great way for us to get a hold of people, to promote ourselves. But we also tell people, tonight, here are our rounds. So they have it in advance. We post it before noon. The quiz starts at 8, so they have 8 hours to
study. So quit your whining.
Exactly. And people have come to realize that there's certain questions that they have to know, and certain things that they have to know, depending on who, you know, what bar you go to. Like, if there's one bar downtown where the host just loves American geography questions, and even in general knowledge rounds, you're going to see about 3 American geography questions in there. So you have to be up to date on that. I love asking questions about 80s and 90s children's television, because I find that's something that a lot of people can relate to.
Because they're younger?
Because
the demographic?
Yeah, the demographic for trivia. You're going to get the trivia diehards and the people who've been doing it for, you know, they're in their 50s, 60s and have been doing it since they were kids. But generally speaking, the trivia crowd we're seeing more so is college age, 20s to 30-somethings, just looking for an alternative to just going out and drinking without doing anything, and so they now want to drink while doing something.
Well, the first night I attended one of these trivia nights, it was downtown, and there's these two groups that were, it wasn't the two teams that were competing heavily, it was one in particular that happened to be behind us.
Okay.
At college age.
Mm-hmm.
And they were intense, and there's a couple of the guys, you know, were all buffed out, you know, the big guns.
Yeah.
And it would impact their masculinity if they lost. It was, and of course, the more they drank, you know, the worse it got.
Exactly.
And I couldn't understand why it was so intense. I understand the competitiveness. There are people that are just, like, it's all bad if I lose or win. But then they announced later what the prizes were. So third prize, of course, was a gift card for the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
First and second prizes were porn CDs. And I thought, ah, okay.
No wonder he got those muscles.
These guys are in the college age. But then I thought, come on, dudes, how expensive can they be?
Well, if you want quality.
Well, this is true. But I thought that was funnier than hell. I just started cracking up. I said, this is a whole other aspect of trivia night. It was pretty funny.
It's the idea of winning something for knowing stuff. And no matter who the person is, if you tell them there's a chance you could win something, no matter what that something is, they're going to try to win it. I learned this back in the day when the prizes I used to give out were credit to the establishment. I find that's a good way to, for a grand prize. It keeps our overhead low because we don't have to go and provide the grand prize as the establishment does. Plus, it continues that team to stay there drinking more because they just won a $20 bar tab, so they're going to spend, like, oh, we've got $23, so then they're going to end up spending more than that $20 to keep drinking there. And so that's why I always offer that. But I've given out everything from magic sets to decks of playing cards to fake money to dollar store DVDs. And people just love a prize.
It doesn't matter
what it is. It's a prize. I think that was a Christmas story when the dad gets the leg lamp and he's like, I don't know, but I want it. It's a prize. And that's all that matters to people. I could give out a sticker if you win and people would still want to win it. And I'm not trying to badmouth people or talk down about the people who play with
me. It's Psych 101.
Yeah, it is. It's people.
We're taught that when we're in grade school. Winning, 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 winning,
yes.
Winning. So even if it's a gold star by your teacher,
exactly.
Good job.
It's one of those things that people want to win something. And so I give out prizes, you know, second, third place. Plus I'll give out a prize for best team names. Plus I'll give, I used to give out a sympathy card that said, we're sorry for your loss to the last place team. that stopped abruptly when the team we gave it to actually had somebody pass away earlier that day and they were just trying to get their mind off of things.
What are the odds?
I could probably calculate them, but they're pretty high.
That one night, teams were providing their own names.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the names of the teams was Hitler's Bitch.
Hitler's Bitch.
Oh, that was funnier than hell. It was so out of left field.
You'll find there's some trivia names that everybody's clever and has come up with nationwide. I played Davis, San Francisco, L.A., Portland, Chicago. I host here in Sacramento. The team name my couch pulls out, but I don't, is... I see that maybe once every 2 weeks.
Really?
By different teams. Another common one is John Travolta, but I'm more of a fan of the more pop culturally current events, pun, a little bit dark ones. One of my favorite team names I ever played under was right after the horrible tragedy of the Haitian earthquake, where we named our team the artist formerly known as Port-au-Prince.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ouch. Too soon?
Is that too soon? Right after Edward Snowden left... The team name I played as was Edward Snowden is not a Game of Thrones character. Last night, because it was How I Met Your Mother themed and World Cup themed, I saw a lot of soccer themed team names and a few How I Met Your Mother team names. And so people just have fun coming up with a name.
So I suppose that, like you were saying, that some people, the World Cup, they don't like that maybe because they think it's not American or something, that they shouldn't have to be answering those kind of questions? I mean, what's the...
Exactly. It's one of those things that people, depending on what the category is, people are either going to get into it or people are going to dislike it. It's something about... I'm trying to think of how to word this without insulting anyone. The way that they talk about it is it's almost this prideful ignorance. Like the whole, I don't like it, so I don't know anything about it. So it's dumb, and I'm better than you because I know it's dumb. The prideful ignorance is a thing that you run into a lot with trivia teams when you ask questions. Like, I'll ask a video game question, and you'll have somebody say, well, video games are dumb. Or I'll ask a question about theater, and, you know, the Tonys were this last weekend. That's a big award show. Of course I'm going to ask questions about it. When you have somebody going up and saying a homophobic slur because I asked a question about who had won best revival of a musical, then, you know, it's one of those things that they just, some trivia people, and it's usually not the diehard trivia people. The diehard trivia people are great. They'll accept any category you throw at them. But when those people are just sitting at a bar like, yeah, I'll play, and it's that whole...
Arrogant.
I want to prove I'm cooler than everybody at this bar because look at these nerds taking a test for fun. You have to deal with that, and sometimes you have to ask people to leave. So, it's one of those things that the bartenders know who are going to pay more money. This guy just sitting there drinking one or two beers and making fun of the 60-some-odd people who are ordering round after round. Which do you really want to keep in the bar? You have to do it that way. We actually lost a bar because a bartender and the owners sided with the three regulars who were sitting there and not the 30-some-odd people who were there. And the three regulars were just shouting out the answers, were looking them up on their cell phones, disrupting the whole thing. And the host had asked them to leave or to be quiet, and then the host asked the bartender to do it. And then the owner's like, they're regulars, they've been here forever. And so he quickly just ended the quiz, said, this is our last time here, see ya. And it's one of those things that I give my hosts that power to make that call. Okay. If they wanna end it there, and he was insulted by the owner of the bar, and the owner would rather have... It's simple business mathematics. We're not doing this for ourselves for fun, even though it is fun for us to host. We're doing this to make money. And if the bar makes money, we make money. And so we want to make you the most money possible. But if you would rather side with one or two patrons because they're regulars, as opposed to 30-some-odd people who are now getting introduced to your bar who could turn into regulars in the future, who are now spending almost $1,000 at your establishment, then more power to you. It's not going to be a good fit.
Will mutually not be a good fit.
Yeah, so, I mean, bars come and go, but there's some that will stick around forever. Blind Pig, we've been there for 2.5 years. I host myself at Pine Cove and Easy on I. Thursday nights at 8, so it's a fun place. And they're just like, well, you're going to pack the place? And I said, I'm going to try. And then we only had 2 teams that first night. And then next night we had 3 teams. And then I said, let's try moving the time. We moved the time. Then we got 5 teams and 6 teams. Then I did a round about Harry Potter trivia. And the place exploded. It's standing room only in there now. 12 teams of 4 to 5 people on each team. We had to turn away 2 teams last night.
What times did you...
Oh, we moved it from 9 p.m. till 8 p.m.
Made a little earlier. Just an hour.
Just an hour earlier. It's a weeknight. I mean, if it was on a Friday night and we did it at 9, that'd be fine. But also, a bar that needs trivia on a Friday at 9, their chances are they're going to be closing down early anyways if they're not getting enough attraction on a Friday at 9. Try to find the right fit. And once we find the right fit.
So Harry Potter's... Mm-hmm. Harry Potter, I can completely see that. Yeah. So there must also be like Lord of the Rings.
I've done Lord of the Rings, specifically Fellowship of the Ring, just book one.
Wow.
Yeah. It's, pretty much anything could be a trivia question.
But what big, obvious culture icons of sorts like those two are pretty steady on your books?
Pretty steady on my books. I don't like to repeat... I don't repeat questions, but I'll repeat a thematic round.
Well, that's what I meant.
And I like to give about 6 months between the two. So far, the big fandom pop culture things that we've done, just did Game of Thrones, we've done Harry Potter, Doctor Who.
Doctor Who, man, that's a big one.
Since I do 12 question rounds, I did one question about each of the doctors. It was a lot of fun. Two questions about David Tennant, because he's the 10th and the 11th doctor. I also did just a round about doors.
Doors.
Things to do with doors.
For instance?
Martin Luther tacked his 95 theses to what church's door? Or in the construction of a door, what is the name of the material in between the door frame and the door itself? So just questions of stuff to
that
do
is really
with
creative
doors.
Topic.
Yeah,
really impressed.
To be honest, I was stuck and I just looked around and I was like, oh, doors. Here we go.
It worked.
Mm-hmm. And you just, if you think outside the box, you could come up with 12 questions on any category. Here I am just like, oh, anybody can write trivia. But you should have me write it for you instead. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Do you approach bars or do they come to you? They hear
50-50. Hmm. When we moved into the downtown area, there was like our style of trivia with the hosts that take things a little more laid back, and we encourage drinking more, and we encourage having fun, and we take chances with our quizzes. Like, I did a visual pun picture round just to see how people would do.
Oh, I love that.
Nobody's doing it in trivia in Sacramento. So we did it, and people started to hear about that. And so people will come and seek us out to play at our trivia, because downtown, it's more of the... hard, you know, the trivia diehards, like you were saying, the people like, no, I have to do it this way. This is how trivia is ran. It's a 50 question quiz, no breaks, one question every minute. You're done, turn it in, and that's it. Ours, we do 3 rounds of 12 questions. There's each round you buy a specialty drink, I'll give you a hint. We're more so about having the fun and giving that alternative to that trivia normalcy that has taken over a lot of bars. And we want to experiment, and we want to have fun. And if they're having fun just drinking and answering dumb questions, then where's the harm in that?
That's how you bring new people in that normally probably wouldn't go.
Exactly. And you'll find that if it's a round about something that you know a lot about, then you're going to do that round, and then you're going to be playing the other 2 rounds too because you're stuck there. And you're going to find, oh, I know a lot about this too. Oh, I know a lot about this too. That's great. Going back to your question about... do people seek you out or do you seek them out? Whenever a new bar opens, I try to get in contact with the owner, see if I know anybody who knows them so I could get my foot in the door. Or sometimes I'll have people who are like, oh, I went and saw you play at Blind Pig. Or, oh, I saw you host at Kilt Pub back in the day. Or, aren't you the guy who used to do the couch? And cause that one was only 4 weeks. And one person recognized me from there. I'm like, really? That's where you know me from? But they'll say, yeah, we're opening a bar and we want to get you involved. It's how... we got Blind Pig, because they recognized us from Kilt Pub, which we no longer do. Pine Cove sought us out because they just Google searched Sacramento trivia. Easy on Eye found us out because one of the bartenders was moving from Pine Cove over to Easy on Eye. Old Town Pizzeria in Oak Grove. Justin was working there, and he was part of the winningest team in questionable trivia history. So he's now the host out there, and he was working there. He's like, hey, they want to do a trivia here. Would you mind writing me a quiz? And so I'm like, sure. I get paid for writing a quiz. And I go out there and I host the last week of every month, the last Tuesday of every month. And he brings out his old team from Kilt Pub. And they play Beat the Quizmaster.
Nice.
Just to prove how smart he is. His record there right now is 2-2. So 2 out of 4, he's won.
So do you have one flat rate for supplying the questions, another flat rate for hosting?
Depends on the bar. Depends on the size. Depends on the quiz. It's one of those things that we will constantly negotiate. Not constantly negotiate, but it's like, hey, we're starting to get a little busier. Or, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, we're a little slow down right now, so, you know,
we'll do what we can to see if we can fix and get this back up. Or if, like, there's a night when we only have three teams and it's, like, and that's out of the blue and we don't know why that's happening. Like, it's on us tonight. Let's play with these three teams. We'll figure out what's going on and pack the house next week.
You're flexible.
We're flexible. But generally speaking, my going rate, I usually, for just writing the quiz, I charge 50 cents to a dollar per question. Depending upon the bar, depending on the turnout, depending upon how much they're willing to pay. If I go to them with a quote and it's too high, they're not going to take it. If I go in there with a quote too low, they're going to take it and I'm going to get cheated. So I like to play it by ear and see what they're willing to do. And
now you hired for private parties? It seems like that would be a popular...
I've done private parties. I've written for private parties. I've hosted for private parties. But it's just not really that lucrative. You need to... The three times I've hosted for private parties, I've written about 10 quizzes for private parties, but the three times I've hosted private parties, you'll find a lot of the people, they're really there just because it's an open bar. And when you're doing like a pub quiz type thing, they're getting drunk and they're not paying attention.
Well, I was thinking a milestone party, say, like a 70th birthday or anniversary, that would be a really fun...
That would be... Great. I would love to start doing those. Like, the one time I did a private party, and it was brilliant, was for a baby shower. And it was so great. I just wrote baby-themed trivia, and I hosted it, and she was just drinking apple cider, but Dad brought in keg, and it was just so much fun. But the other times I've done it, it's just been, like, for a corporate event. It's like, we're going to now do a pub quiz. And, you know, I work in some questions about their company and what they do and everything like that. But most people aren't... Most people have noticed at those type things because it's...
They have to be there.
Yeah, they don't want to do it. As opposed to other types of corporate entertainment where, you know, it's like, oh, it's a show. I can watch a show. Whereas if it's something as participatory as this for a corporate event, doesn't work out as well. But I would love it to.
I would suggest contacting event planners because they're always looking for somebody to add in their Rolodex.
I'm taking note of that right now. But yeah,
they're always looking to offer something unique to their client. And they aren't doing it personally. They're outsourcing it. But they are still responsible for providing that for the party. So,
you know, if there's something I got out of this podcast, it's that idea.
So you mean not the joy of spending time in my company?
Oh, no, no. I love joining company, but I also love making money.
Really? That's so bizarre.
It's a great way to, speaking of making money, it's just a fun way to do it. When people ask you, you know, oh, when are you going to get a real job? I'm like, I get paid.
If I'm paid, it's a real job.
Yeah. So
pretty straightforward.
Am I getting monetary compensation for providing a goods or service? Oh, then I do have a job. Thank you.
So if I threw a category or a subject at you, you could probably throw a couple of pieces of trivia.
Yeah. Give me a category.
Authors of the 1700s.
The satirical essay, A Modest Proposal, was written by what 1700s author, also popular for Gulliver's Travels? Jonathan Swift. Daniel Defoe is popular for what novel about survival on an island? That'd be Robinson Crusoe. Liaisons Dangereuses is about incest between what two relationships in the family? Cousins. And just so you can see, all I'm looking at is titles of books. And names of authors.
Oh, okay.
And so the more...
You just kind of look at it backwards and...
Yeah, I look at it backwards.
Like Jeopardy.
Just knowing these type of things. Yeah, see, here's Modest Proposal. Drums of Autumn.
Okay.
Persian Pickle. Oh, wow, I haven't read that in a while.
Persian Pickle? I've never heard of that.
It's a silly book.
Okay. Well, I'm assuming because of the title, but I guess I shouldn't assume.
If it's a 1700s book called The Persian Pickle...
Okay. I just remember three jars of relish that I read in eighth grade.
Oh, you read. I thought you said I ate 8 jars of relish. I'm like, this is interesting.
Actually, it was an interesting story.
Okay.
It turns out because he had to read it the last 10 minutes of class.
Mm-hmm.
And I was clearly the fastest reader because I was the first one to finish. Because at the last couple of pages, all of a sudden, out loud, involuntarily, I just kind of yelled out this, ew. Everybody turns, looks at me and goes back to read even more voraciously to see what I was... I'll let you discover it for yourself.
I will. I definitely will.
But I'm obviously giving it away by saying that you, but...
Hey, it's one of those things that I'm fine with spoilers, personally. I like the journey up to the spoiler. If you're going to tell me step by step how it happened, then I get upset. Like, when somebody told me, oh, the end of Game of Thrones. I'd already read the book, so I was fine.
One of my aunts always reads the end of the book before she reads it. I don't get that. Like, what's the point?
I don't get it either, but
it's analyzing something instead of just enjoying the journey, instead of just letting the boat swain lead you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not entertaining for me. What are some of the questions that even surprised you that you found yourself asking people?
Anytime I ask something that has to do with really super science-y stuff and people get it right. I'm fine with science. I'm good at science trivia. But, like, I'll go and I'll ask, like, who were the two credited as being the godfathers of the Hadron Collider? And, well, most people should know that because it's big current events stuff. But still, people getting into that stuff, just finding out what people are into. I didn't really know much about professional wrestling up until 2 weeks ago when a team had requested I do a round about professional wrestling. And so I said, okay. So I spent 2-3 days studying, reading, listening to podcasts, watching tape, just to really get a feel for it. If I do a round that I don't know anything about, I will dive into it. So that way I do know more about it. So that way, if people have rebuttals or something like that, I can, like, well, here's the reason why. Not just the, here's the question, here's the answer, but here's also the why, the showing the work portion of trivia. So I need to know that stuff as well. So it's just finding out certain things that people are really into.
Now, one trivia night that I attended, they had you unscramble
anagrams.
Do you do that?
I do. Not as often as I used to, because they are, pardon my French, they're a bitch to make. Because I like to do anagrams where the question has something to do with, or the answer has something to do with the question. Like, I want the anagram to fit within a question that also gives a clue to who it is. Give you an example. I mean, it's not going to be a perfect anagram, but if I was to ask a question about Upton Sinclair and the answer's Upton Sinclair, I'd want the scrambled up version of his name to be something to do with Upton Sinclair.
Like one of something he wrote? Or
yeah, something he wrote, or a quote, or a way to describe him. So the anagram side of that, it's, they're just a bitch to write if you're doing an anagram round. Yeah.
Well, the one that I attended, it was locations. I don't remember if there were cities. There must have been cities. And
was it a handout? Or did he just read the words?
No. Yeah, they just read the letters, not the words. Oh, letters. Read the letters. Remember, it's okay. Scrambled.
Yes. See,
but this is for me. I have to be told it's two words. I have to be told it's three words. So I didn't get any of them. Oh, fortunately, geez. Somebody in our team was just sharp as a tack and boom, 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 got them all.
That's usually how I am, too. Like, if I'm told the letters, I'll write them out and I can kind of get the feel for it. If I, you know, like, oh, they're all locations. I'm looking for locations. I look at the number of vowels needed, and then if there's any sort of strange letters, then you can put that together. At least that's how my brain works. Just having the letters scrambled, I like it when they create words that fit into a question. So that's fun.
Now, I'm guessing you probably have some favorite teams.
I do have some favorite teams. Pabst Blue Waffle, the winningest team in questionable trivia history. Plus, Justin got me the team over there. A lot of people will hate me for saying this, but there's this team called Clown Baby. They were so good, but they were so bad. They were full of themselves. That's the thing. It's the only trivia team I've ever seen make their own Facebook page. Like, they had a Facebook like page for their trivia team, and it was so funny because there's teams, like the other regular teams, were just like gathering against them. Then the team I played on, we went 17 weeks in a row in first place. That's one of the best. That's the best team I ever was on. It was me, Bob, John, Mary, and we just dominated. And then Bob got sick. And we stopped playing together because he stopped going. And then he passed away last year around this time. We've been meaning to go out and play trivia together again. But it just still feels a little weird going out to a bar when, like, the cornerstone. And we all picked up habits from each other. Like
when you lose your drummer, you know, the band is not the same.
Exactly. And so, yeah. Plus, he knew music like nobody's business. Music trivia questions he got right away. And, yeah, we each brought our own specialties.
Yeah.
So, like,
what was yours?
Yes. My specialty, believe it or not, is pop culture. But, yeah, pop culture is my specialty. History.
A couple of interesting pieces of history. History trivia.
A fun history trivia.
Like, I'm a fan of American history. Like, the first public school in the U.S. was in 1635 in Boston, Massachusetts. The Sons of Liberty were the people who are, or was the secret society who are credited with the Boston Tea Party. They also had a hand in creating the first public school. Just the family relationships between different people who you wouldn't expect as well. Like, how all but one president are related to each other.
I've never heard that.
Mm-hmm. You could trace all family trees of all the presidents back to a single point, except for one. Right now, my brain's wanting to say Harding, but I'm not sure if that's right. But I know only one is not related to all the others. Like, it's like 16th cousins and stuff like that. Like, I'm pretty sure at this point, everyone in America is at least at most a 20th cousin. Somebody else.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
But, yeah, going to my genealogical charts, all presidents are related except for one.
There's a portion of the population who likes the Abe and JFK comparison, so that just adds to the list, I guess.
Yeah. Did you know there's three different ways to answer the question how many continents there are in the U.S., or continents there are in the world?
There's three ways to answer
it? It's either five, six, or seven. Depending on who you ask. Seven includes North America, South America, Oceania, Asia, Europe, Africa, and Antarctica. That's what we're taught in schools. But you're also taught that North America, South America, Africa, Eurasia, Oceania, Antarctica. But then there's the people who go North America, South America, Eurasia, Africa, and Oceania are the only ones. And Antarctica is part of Europe. It's not considered a full landmass. And so it's that type of thing that leads to arguments. And so you have to be specific when you're asking the questions.
So as we're wrapping this up, my final question to you.
Okay.
What was the final word or phrase spoken when Cheers ended?
That would be Ted Danson saying, "Sorry, we're closed," and turning off the lights.
In my ongoing celebration of the 150th anniversary of the National Park System, I'm heading over to Ice Age National Scenic Trail in Wisconsin. One of our country's 11 national scenic trails, Ice Age National Scenic Trail and Florida National Scenic Trail are the only ones contained entirely in one state. The trail's name is due to its route, which generally follows the edges of the last continental glacier in North America. My fellow hikers know firsthand interesting rock and land formations resulting from retreating ice and water. The exposed bedrock at the Dells of the Eau Claire in Marathon County and Grandfather Falls in Lincoln County, however, have been dated at about 1.8 billion years old. Currently, 600 miles of the trail are complete in 2 to 40 mile segments, which have temporary connecting routes until the entire 1,200 miles of the trail is unified. It stretches from Interstate State Park on the St. Croix River in Polk County to Potawatomi State Park in Green Bay and Door County. 21 chapters of volunteers build and maintain the trail. Like many state and national trails, markers appear on trees along the trails. On Ice Age, the markers include an image of a mammoth, which apparently many visitors don't recognize, as they often ask the rangers why there is a shaggy elephant on the sign. Meanwhile, beginning on June 25th, a One Nation, One Voice prayer ride led by the Great Horse Nations will proceed across the North American continent from Oregon to the White House to deliver a message to President Obama and Congress on October 13th, specifically to stand up for the next generation for clean water and our Mother Earth. I wish them well on their journey. Do something different. Next time you're leaving a tip, also leave something fun like bazooka bubblegum.